Hey Ashley, do you remember? Oh my God, this is kind of like the VeggieTales situation. Do you remember the roly poly ollies?
Like a bug?
Like the little what? They were like the robot bug people. The
Oh, the
show from
show,
like
not the
the.
bug.
No, I loved roly polies though.
Nah, them
That
shits
I
is
used to
gross.
collect them. No, I had a whole. I would. My great grandma Ham, she would. And yes, that's the same last name as James. We are not gonna get into it. Not today. But she would poke holes in her sour cream cans for me to go catch roly poly so they wouldn't die, and I'd put grass in them. Yep, Mama Ham.
Oh, Mama Ham. But the
Yep,
show
but
Roly Poly Oly slap, bro.
yes, I love that show. They had the mechanical arms and they'd
Yes,
like
they
reach
did.
things.
Them go-go gadget Johns.
Yay! They were like the Inspector Gadget, but on the bug side.
Oh yeah. It was it go-go gadget, had a bug.
I found a picture of them, y'all. I will post this on our story because it's very nostalgic. It's kind of like the VeggieTales situation, even though
Yeah.
we have butchered that theme
Oh
song.
yeah, but I know this one. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brooke.
And you're here with us on Teachers Who Talk Crime.
Podcast.
Y'all, did y'all hear the news? Did y'all hear?
Did y'all see the story?
Did y'all
Did
see
y'all
it
see?
with your eyes?
Because we hit
20K.
20,000.
That is wild. 20K downloads?
Yeah, y'all must like us or
I
something.
mean, period.
I know. Next stop is 30.
It's so crazy because when we got to 10, we were like, okay, we're gonna plan this Vegas trip. Y'all, this trip is not planned.
It's not. Well, it is. It is. It's not. Nope. Not even
It's
gonna
not.
try.
And then what did we say we were gonna do at 20?
Another trip, weren't we?
Where were we
Or
going?
like a, I
Dubai?
don't know.
No, we're not going to
Oh Lord. Oh Lord.
JK, I would have to use my whole entire salary.
Yeah, literally. Literally. If you hear tippy tappies, Ashton has decided that she no longer wants to lay down because we've done a lot of chit chatting and
Yeah.
not recording. And so now she's deciding that she wants to explore the guest bedroom.
Yeah.
I really need her to sit down, sister.
It's fine. She's our Teachers Talk Crime mascot. It's cool.
She's a lot. And I have all three dogs for 3 weeks. And one of our dogs is on her lady time. So she is a hella annoying right now and being so bad and PMSing so bad. Like, I did not think that dogs' periods were like women, but she ate four bowls of food last night. Four.
Dang, she was
Four bowls.
hungry.
Four bowls. Tore her bed to pieces. When she gets the need to hump, she comes upstairs privately and humps up here.
Oh, well, that's very, respectful of her,
Ladylike. Yeah. It's very ladylike of her.
Is our dog periods as often as ours?
No, hers is every 6 months.
Dang, for how
Yeah.
long?
It's been about 2 weeks.
Oh,
Yeah.
no. Because I was going to ask, do y'all like sync up? Because, I didn't know if that's a thing.
Oh,
Because
God.
obviously you couldn't, because child.
She's irking my nerves.
In the
Really
words
bad.
of Miss Branny, she irking like a Birkin.
She is, I tell her. I tell her. Like, she just is like, all rules have gone out the window with her. It's like, I can do what I want. Why are you not paying me attention? Yeah.
How much longer is this going to
I
last?
don't know. I need for it to stop. And like, Ashton's fixed. So, like, the other two dogs are fixed. So, like, they just are like sniffing her and they're like, dude, what's going on with you?
Dang.
Yeah. So, this is going to be real fun because I start work. When y'all are hearing this, I'm literally sitting at work.
Yep, she will, and I will be still in New York.
Holiday mode, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
I
It's
still haven't
wonderful.
received like a hey, teachers, here's the schedule. And my mom keeps telling me, like, you know, you could just go to your school's website and look on the calendar for when you go back. And I said, I don't want that negativity in my life.
Yeah, why would you put that in my life treaty?
I'm not going to do it. It's going to be a surprise for all of us. And yeah, that's how it's going to be. So,
yeah, I'm here for that. Like, no, because after we're recording on Sunday, y'all are getting this episode on Monday.
Literally.
And when we get done recording, I literally, on a Sunday, how disgusting is this, am going to my classroom, because not only do I start school tomorrow, which is when you're listening, and I also have open house from 6 to 8. So I literally will be at my school from 8 to 8 tomorrow.
That's a full day. That's making my tummy hurt.
Yes.
I think my tummy hurt. Mm-hmm. Well, it's my fault that this episode wasn't done sooner, because yesterday I went to my friend's housewarming party, and she also got engaged at said housewarming party.
Oh,
so shout out to Daya. Boo, 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 boo. She's a whole fiance, and she's a listener. So everybody give her a TTC. Happy engagement, girl.
Okay, mine's going to sound really bitter because everyone around me is getting engaged and I'm not. So I am very happy for you, but slightly bitter.
Brooke!
I mean, literally can't even open my phone anymore without somebody getting engaged. And like, we have a whole house together and three dogs. What are you waiting for?
Well, maybe your housewarming party, that's when the joint going to be joining.
Well... And my dad's going to Puerto Rico. Daddy Dozier's going to Puerto Rico on Wednesday. And my sister just dug the knife deeper. And she's like, what if he proposes, like, to his girlfriend while he's in Puerto Rico? And I was like, I swear to God, if my dad gets engaged before me, the bitterness will escalate to destruction.
Do you hear the tiny human in the back? Oh. Do you hear the tiny? Duke, go upstairs. Skylar, go upstairs. Aria, go upstairs.
But
everyone, go upstairs. Duke.
We are real humans. We really are human, guys.
We try to record at night to avoid this. Yes. So I don't know how many times this door is going to open and I'm going to say, go upstairs. Why is the door still open? Hi, good morning. I didn't say good morning to you. Come here. Did you just wake up?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah.
All right, go upstairs, close the door. Take Duke with you. Okay. Doodle bop, go. Go, my man.
Love it.
The joys of motherhood.
Yeah. State Farm is on your side.
Child, they not on my side today. Okay. Whatchamacallit. We have had a crazy influx of listeners, guys.
We've had a crazy week.
Yeah. It's been great. We're just ironing out some things, and we'll, you know, let you know about it when the time has come.
Yep.
But things are
they're
going
on our side.
Yeah. Teachers talk crime is on our side.
There you go. There you go. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we figured we would like roll out these socials since we have so many new people. Also, welcome. Welcome to class. We're happy to have you. You know.
Yes. And oh my gosh, the DMs have been so cute. It's like, I don't know if you answer, or like the new listeners have been like, hey, I don't know if it's okay to DM you. And we're like, yes.
We're like, please do it. I spent yesterday responding to all the emails we've gotten from other teachers, people thinking about going into the education field. So I was just like sending those out and like just giving everybody our well wishes and thanking them. And it was just a good time. So
I know.
Let's get off with our Instagrammy. Our Instagram is Teachers Talk Crime.
Yes. And then the tickety tock, don't stop.
Don't ever stop.
Which a lot of you have come from TikTok. So just proving the power of TikTok. And I'm hoping that TikTok never goes away just because of the good that it can do.
Yeah.
But mine is southern.math.teacher.
And mine is Branny, and that is Brant with three Y's and an underscore.
And Stephanie, we do not forget the underscore.
We never forget the underscore.
Y'all, the OGs know what that's about.
They really do. The new listeners are like, you said it. Why would I forget?
Yeah, like you literally put it in the name.
It's there. What else do we have? We haven't done this in a while, so I like forgot all the things.
We do have a Twitter. I'm slacking on the tweeting and the tessie. Mm-hmm. But we do. It's TTC podcast underscore. So again, don't forget the underscore. Uh-huh. I think I do better with Twitter when I'm at work. Like, and I like have a structure and I'm like, oh, check socials on my planning. And then I can like do mm-hmm, everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, that's our Twitter.
And then we also have a Buy Us a Coffee.
Yeah.
Which is TTC podcast.
Yep.
Hey, I remember that one. Look at me. Yeah. And then we have an email as well. If you guys want to email us, because it is okay. You can email us.
Yeah, it's definitely okay.
Yeah, do what you need to do. It's great. We love hearing from you. And that is teacherstalkcrimepodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
those are all the things, right?
That's all the things.
That's all the things. That yay. Is.
Yeah. So if you are new here, you do know by now, hopefully you've listened to a few episodes, but we have a star student each week.
Yep.
So Ashley.
Estudiante Estrella.
I have the star student this week because their name is awesome.
Oh gosh. See, look, guys, just tally through this episode how many times you hear a mommy in the background. Yes, baby.
I can't reach it with my two hands.
You can't reach it with your two hands?
Yeah, he's so heavy.
He's so heavy? Mm-hmm. Okay, you can leave him down here. That's fine. I'll bring him up when I'm done, okay? All right, go ahead. Bye, love you. Numero dos.
That was twice. Yes. So the star student this week is Scrubby 13.
Scrubby.
And I love the name because I feel like you're a pirate and I'm just picturing you as a pirate. And
like,
I think you're so cool.
Me Scrubby, me lardies.
Yeah, I think you're really cool. And the title is Binge Worthy with 5 stars. Yeah. And Scrubby 13 said, I recently found you guys when looking for a podcast to listen to on my way to work. I am a special education teacher. I absolutely love your personalities and how you keep it real about teaching and life. I love how respectful you are of the victims and their families, and you make my drive to and from work more interesting. I have already binged through over half of your episodes in a week.
Dang, girl, you better go ahead and what's that?
I see you.
What's that? Half of 28. I don't do math. What's that?
What's that? That's 16.
Yeah. I don't do math.
14.
Oh.
Half of 28. 1 and then 4. Yeah, 14. I'm not back in school yet.
We cannot do math at 10:49 in the morning. It's just not going to be a good thing for me.
So. Don't ask us to do that.
But anyway, Scrubby 13. Thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you. Bang.
Love it. And I really hope that like your classroom theme is like pirate. That would be like so cool.
That would be so fun. But random before we like continue on with life, because you know, life.
Yeah.
Would you guys hear me out? So because, you know, thank you so much for. What do you think of a sweatshirt that literally says that it's yellow, obviously? Thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you. And then there's going to be a star on the shirt. Bing. And in the middle of the star is going to be the
bing.
Tell me your thoughts.
Let us know.
I want it on my body.
Yeah.
But I don't know if anyone else is going to purchase it to put on their bodies. So.
Well, I feel like, too, it could have multiple meanings. Like, thank you for judging me across the room there, Sally. This call starts for you, Bing.
Thanks, Sally girl.
Me and James have been on this kick where we just name people. Like, we've been naming old ladies constantly. I've been stuck on the name Helen.
Mm.
And I'm like, God, Helen. Mm. Yeah.
My go-to because I feel old lady name is Gertrude.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, let us know.
I low-key call my mom Gertrude and she hates it. Her name is not Gertrude. It's Trudy. But
it's Trudy, yeah.
I'd be like, Gertrude? She's like, my name is not Gertrude. She gets irritated.
It's kind of like Casey Ray. When Casey goes to her alternate personality, we call her Cassandra Raylene.
Mm.
We're like, Cassandra Raylene. She said, that's not my name.
Mm, girl, she said, that's not my name.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, stop acting like her.
Well, I'm cracking up.
Yeah. I do have, this is not sponsored, but I do want to share it with you guys just mm-hmm. because like if I'm loving it, maybe someone else would love it. if you are a teacher and you listen to us, then you're broke. We know how teacher life is. Like, mm-hmm. we're always broke. Yeah. We are budget people. Mm-hmm. And something that doesn't fall into the budget is perfume. And for me, middle schoolers stink. And so I need to be able to smell me, which is going to smell good, and not them. So I recently found this perfume brand, Dossier, which is spelled just like my last name, a Dozier, but they say it very more elegant because they're classy.
I'm literally calling you Dossier forever now. Your name is no longer Miss Dozier. You are Miss Dossier.
They are so classy with our last name. But their perfume brand is Dossier. It's spelled like mine, my name. And so I found them, and basically they create dupes for high-end perfume. So I bought the dupe for Marc Jacobs Daisy, uh-huh. and I bought the dupe for Clinique Happy. So those are the two dupes that I bought, and they're like $22 each for a bottle, and like the high-end dupes are like over 100. Yeah. And I wore it for the first time yesterday and literally was like smelling myself all day because it was so good. So if you're interested, I definitely will put the link in the show notes. Again, I'm not earning anything off this. Teachers Talk Crime is not earning anything off this. I just want to share things that we find because as teachers, we love, you know, cheaper things.
And we love to help each other out too.
Yeah. So if you need a new scent for
I need to send
this school
you
year,
the perfume that my mom wears. YSL has perfumes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe she has a YSL one, and it smells...
They have a dupe for that one.
Okay, cool. Send me
it. They have the YSL dupe. Yeah.
Send me that.
Yep, I will.
Send it to me.
I got you.
Because I need it on my body to smell good.
Yup. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of it, y'all.
All right, well, do the thing, Brooke. Do it.
Do the thing?
Do the thing.
Sit down. Shut up. The murder is about to begin.
Ahora. I've been waiting for it.
I know.
Oh, God.
What up, y'all? Welcome back. It's Teachers Talk Crime, and y'all already know what it is. We about to be in here talking about murder, suicide, dating violence, domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. So, y'all already know what it is. Don't sit here and act like y'all know. We about to get into it. So, if you're not ready, I'm going to need you to leave.
All right, guys, I haven't done a case when I've been like sympathetic to the perpetrators in a while. So we're just going to jump into it. Let's go.
I don't think you've done a case like that ever. We did the Christopher Pittman case. And remember, I was in my feels for like 2 weeks.
No, we did the why can't I remember her name right now?
Oh, Maddie Clifton case.
Maddie Clifton, and there was one before that. Remember what is her name? The girl, she went to the school and shot her like friend.
Oh, yes. Okay, I got you.
I don't know why. I can't think of her name right now. I'm so sorry I forgot your name. What is it?
Yeah, okay, you're right. Keep episode, going. I'm sorry.
It was Tia Wimberly.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was way back when, in like the beginning of time. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do right here is go back. Way back to 1999. Oh. So not like super far.
Oh,
like,
Y2K.
Yeah. Like not super far, but like far enough, you know?
Do you remember like, well, I don't know if Trudy was like this, but I know Angie was. Mm-hmm. Angie was like, the world's going to end. The clock's about to switch.
I just remember sitting there and like being like, all right, like I would hear about it. But like my mom was like, the world's going to end. Like we were watching the ball drop and I was like low key nervous. Like, OK, so if this is it, at least I'm with my family.
See you soon, God.
And here we are back at the gates. Same house where we watched that daggone ball drop and the world is still intact. You know, it's Lord. In shambles, but it's intact.
Yeah. I mean, and then the other day, CERN, whatever that place is, this is supposed to end us too. And,
yeah.
You know, we're still here.
Yeah, we're still rocking out. I mean, monkeypox is just, you know, doing its thing. COVID's mm-hmm. still here. But, you know, we're here.
We are.
We're here.
Making a podcast.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we go into 1999. Good times.
And feeling so
roly poly yolies. That was during that time frame.
It had to be. Because that's when the good cartoons were out.
Yeah.
That's when things were still good. But we're going to January 6th, 1999, to be exact. And I was almost 2 months into being a 10-year-old at that time. So I was probably rocking overalls and very large circle glasses and listening to NSYNC because they were my favorite in the world.
I think I was in first or second grade.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because you was a baby.
That's the second grade.
Yeah. However, in Port St. John, Florida, 12-year-old Curtis Fairchild Jones and 13-year-old Catherine Nicole Jones were doing far worse things. So according to my sources, 26-year-old Sonia Spites, Curtis and Catherine's father's girlfriend, sat working on a jigsaw puzzle at the dining room table. It was there that Curtis shot Sonia 4 times with their father's 9mm semi-automatic gun.
So we got, let me recap.
Yep, go ahead.
I'm just making sure I'm following. Okay, so dad has a girlfriend.
Yep.
Not the kid's mom.
No.
They are real brother and sister because they share the same last name.
Indeed. Okay.
So what are their ages?
Curtis is 12 and Catherine is 13.
Whoa.
Yes. Whoa. Young, young, young. The crime scene was very chaotic. Attorney Tony Hernandez III, who briefly represented Curtis and Catherine, later stated the following. You know how they say you don't take a dog for a walk, it walks you? Well, it was as if the gun was shooting the kid. There were bullet holes everywhere.
Whoa.
Yeah. So there were a total of 9 shots made with the gun that night. And I've never shot a gun before, but I imagine that depending on the type of gun that it is, that it has some type of like... I wrote pushback. I knew it was something with a back, you know?
Yeah. And that it's true. It is true. So, like, I have shot guns before because, you know, we hunt. And mine and James's second date was we went to the shooting range. This is a normal thing in the South. I get that it's, like, not in the North, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
But when we have shot guns, I always ask, even when I shot guns with my dad, I would be like, does this one have a kick? Because I have seen a girl about my size shoot a gun that had a kick and it came back and gave her a black eye.
Oh,
Imagine a 12-year-old shooting a gun that has a kick. You know what I mean? Like, this girl got a black eye and she's my size and my age. Like,
yeah. Mm. Yeah. And that's like, and like, she was an adult. So, you know, I put here that I gather it would be easier to control as an adult, but obviously not. You know what I mean? And then if you're a child with no shooting experience, like, I understand why there were holes like everywhere.
Yeah, because it's like you aim it. Okay, so when you're aiming and then as soon as you pull the trigger, it kicks. So that bullet, you have to predict. The way James taught me is he's like, you put the target slightly lower than you want because it's going to
because of the kickback is going to push it up.
Yeah.
Got you. Well, next time I come visit, I'm ready to go to shooting range because I want to pew, 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 okay?
Yeah, no, we need to.
Yes. So after shooting Sonia, Catherine and Curtis moved her body to a bathtub in the house. And they also attempted to clean up the blood trail that they left dragging her body on the carpet with bleach, which they were not very successful at. So they then...
Because they're kids. Yeah,
exactly. Like, they're probably, like, panicking at this point, like, ah, you know what I mean? So they then went to a neighbor or a friend's house. Some sources say a neighbor and other sources say a friend. I don't really know which one it is. So nonetheless, they went to someone's house and told them that they had fatally shot Sonia by accident.
But you shot it 9 times. How is that an accident?
Brooke, are you sure you didn't look at my script, girl?
I'm just like, okay, if a kid's playing, because there was a recent case, I don't know, and we're probably not going to cover it because it was really traumatic, but like the kid thought, like if you thought the gun, we hear cases all the time, think the gun's not loaded because you don't know gun safety.
Yes.
That's not understandable, but like that's accidental, not 9 times.
Yes, exactly. So like you said, like I'm using my true crime brain and depending on what gun you use, if you accidentally shoot somebody, you're not going to shoot a gun 9 times to accidentally shoot somebody.
Yeah.
Like, if I was playing around with a gun and then it accidentally went off, like, that's enough for me. I'm going to put that joint down. You know what I'm saying?
I'm about to drop it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, snap, that was accidental. Granted, the neighbor slash friend didn't see the scene. You know what I mean? So they're just going by the word of mouth of Catherine and Curtis.
Which, in their mind, is probably a one-shot thing and it was accidental.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So... after telling this friend slash neighbor, they somehow managed to flee to the woods. And another thought I had was just like, this person that they told had to have been a child or a young person. So I'm leaning more towards the friend aspect because there is no way that I'm going to disclose to somebody, hey, I just accidentally shot somebody and then just go frolic in the woods. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Like, as an adult, if someone came to me and was like, hey, so I just accidentally shot somebody, I'm not going to be like, okay, bye, see you later. Like, I'm going to call the cops.
Yep.
So I just really love more insight as to how that went down. Like, if they told the friend and the friend was, like, their response from what they told the friend. And like, it just didn't make any sense to me.
Well, it makes sense if they told a kid. But if we are talking in our, like, frame of mind where we're thinking they told an adult, then that's, like, way different.
Mm-hmm.
Because a kid might be like, huh? Like, I don't think it has time to process.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Catherine and Curtis were found in a wooded area near their home the next morning and immediately taken into custody. And during their interrogation with police, there wasn't much fight or pushback with information. Both kids disclosed pretty early on that they had, in fact, murdered Sonia. So, according to sources, Brevard County Sheriff's Office Major Todd Goodyear, wow, that's a mouthful, was one of the officers to interview the kids. And he disclosed that Catherine and Curtis expressed that they killed Sonia because their father, Curtis Jones, wasn't spending time with them like he used to. And they were jealous of all of the attention that Sonia was receiving from him. Hold on, there's Tiny Feet.
Tiny Feet.
Yes,
this
ma'am.
This is number three.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, go hang out with them, and I'm going to be done in a little bit, okay? Okay, but they're not down here, sweetheart. I got to get this done, okay? Okay, bye. Love you. Close the door, please. Thank you. Número tres. Teachers, are you looking for a fun way for the whole class to practice comprehension skills? Dreamscape's Class Missions can help with that. Class Missions are a live in-class event where students race against the clock, answering independent questions and work together to take down the giant rock monster. It boosts engagement, focus, and collaboration. Beginning August 1st, Dreamscape will be launching Mission Mondays. One Monday a month from August to December, teachers will have the ability to run an unlimited number of class missions. That means no prep for you and crazy amounts of fun for your students. If you haven't already, sign up for a Dreamscape educator account using the link in our bio so you don't miss out on Mission Mondays.
So that was actually one question I did have. When all of this is going down, where is the dad?
Yes. Okay, and I'm going to get into that later, where he was at the time, but it will come back up. So they weren't spending time with him, blah, blah, blah. Where was I? Oh. So here's what Goodyear had to say about Catherine's demeanor during the interrogation. The girl, she was very intelligent, a very smart girl for her age. She wasn't really emotional. She lacked empathy. She was very matter-of-fact. She was the one who came up with the plan, and they carried it out very matter-of-factly.
That's disturbing, but then okay. Mm-hmm. You hear that and you're like, lacks empathy. That's like a clear sign of like sociopath, psychopath tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if she's 12 to 13 years old, then that part of the brain hasn't even developed yet. So you can't say that she was a psychopath or sociopath because, mm-hmm. again, that part of the brain hasn't even developed yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like to me, I'm thinking, okay, how the brain works in a child, mm-hmm. is when something traumatic happens, the brain immediately goes into defense mode.
Yes.
And if anyone out there is a specialist and you want to tell us how it actually happens, that would be great. But from what I understand is your brain goes into defense mode. And what it does is it tries to block out those tragic events.
Yes.
From memory.
Yes.
That's why a lot of people that have been through traumatic things, mm-hmm. don't have clear recollections of what happened because the brain is trying to protect you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So because of the nature of the murder, Catherine and Curtis were charged as adults for the first degree murder. I got ahead of myself to say her name. I'm sorry. The first degree murder of Sonia Spites, making them the youngest people in the United States to be charged as adults for first degree murder. A 12 and a 13 year old.
Okay. If it was the sister's plan, and mm-hmm. the sister premeditated it,
mm-hmm.
the sister could have manipulated the brother into carrying out said plan. So I feel like if anyone's gonna get the adult charge, it should be her,
mm-hmm.
and this brother should be evaluated and maybe given a second degree murder charge because he was under her influence.
Mm-hmm. But you're also not taking into account what I said at the start of the episode.
That what?
That this is a case where I am very sympathetic.
Yes, you're going to have, yes. Okay, towards them.
So, like when I first researched it, like my brain was where you were at. Mm-hmm. And then when I got a little down, I was like, oh.
Okay, so yeah. I have more to learn.
Yeah. So then state attorney Norm Wolfinger stated the following about the Jones children. These are not kids without a clue. They knew right from wrong. They committed a murder. Catherine and Curtis were offered a plea deal. Plead guilty to second-degree murder, and they would get 18 years in prison with a lifelong probation following their release.
So that's a great plea.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, with the possibility of life in prison if found guilty during a trial, they obviously accepted the plea deal.
Yeah.
So Curtis was sent to South Bay Correctional Facility in South Bay, Florida, and Catherine was sent to, I hope I'm going to say this right, Lowell Correctional Institution in Ocala, Florida.
So are these juvenile institutions or are these like adult prisons?
Adult. I mean, they were charged as adults.
But God, you're okay.
Right?
Wow.
Right? So this was all in 1999. So what we're going to do is fast forward to 2009, okay? So at this point, Catherine and Curtis had been in prison for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And the real motive behind Sonia's death came to light. So according to sources, records reviewed by Florida Today revealed that Catherine and Curtis had endured physical and sexual abuse in their home in Port St. John, Florida.
From her?
I'm about to get into it.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do first is give you some information about their parents before we get into the abuse, because you were asking about their mother earlier. So their biological mother is Stacy Parks, and Stacy Parks met Curtis Jones while working at KFC, and they began dating without the well wishes of her family, because mm-hmm. Stacy was a white woman and her family did not approve of her dating a black man.
Okay.
So according to Stacy, the abuse started pretty early on. Curtis started hitting her within a month of dating. And then she became pregnant with Catherine 6 months later. And according to one source, he continued to abuse her while she was pregnant, and it caused a tear in her uterus.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And Stacy believes that this is what caused Catherine's premature birth.
So I'd have never given birth. Do you think that can really call, like, as someone who understands birth?
I mean, the uterus is pretty important for a baby. So right. If there's a tear, it's definitely going to
affect it.
Yes, absolutely. Like for me, when I had the twins, I had a premature birth with them, and they were born considered micro preemies because I had them at 24 weeks. And they were saying, oh, it's because you had a shortened cervix and they had they were slowed growth and things of that nature. But I believe that it was the stress of my job that caused me to go into preterm labor. I the amount of stress I was under at that job, uh-huh. like there's no way. No one could tell me different. Yeah. No one could tell me different. So everything is really, anything can really affect a pregnancy. So
well,
that
and
tear.
That's, yeah. When Mary had Casey, she was 2 months pregnant, which is like literally still like, I guess, considered like the worrisome zone,
yep,
right?
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm.
So, like, at 2 months, Casey's dad got in a near-fatal car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mary's entire pregnancy, he was bedridden. She had to, like, wipe his butt.
Dang.
And in a wheelchair, and then in a walker, and then in the hospital.
Dang.
And so, like, everyone was so worried about her pregnancy because, like, that was so much stress.
Yeah.
You know, on it. But, you know, Casey's thriving. So.
Yeah.
Girl, yes. And I mean, bless Mary's heart, she just has not had any easy pregnancies, but she rocks motherhood. And the same
period.
For you, like, I think that it definitely could have affected it, but I also feel like someone who has been in an abusive relationship,
mm-hmm.
you convince yourself that if this next thing happened, it would get better. So like, mm-hmm. what I think she did was, okay, now I'm pregnant. Like, this baby's going to change him. Like, mm-hmm. he's not going to abuse me anymore. Okay, yeah. Now we're going to, you know, move in together. Okay, now it's not going to happen anymore, mm-hmm. because we're going to be happy. Oh, now we just bought a new TV. Like, that's going to make him happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, that's not how yeah. abuse works.
Yeah, just something else. Or it's just going to go as, I don't want to say business as usual, but, like,
yeah.
it's just going to continue. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So Curtis was born less than a year later in 1986. And regardless of the two little blessings that he had just received, Curtis continued to abuse Stacy. So she stated that although she tried to leave many times, he would always convince her to come back.
And that's what they do.
Yep. Yeah. And Stacy and Curtis got married in 1989, but left him for good shortly after by pawning a gold chain for a one-way ticket back to Kansas to live with her mother.
She take the kids?
Unfortunately, Stacy could not take the kids with her as her mother would not accept her grandchildren because they were biracial.
That's disgusting. Those are your grandchildren.
Yeah.
Those are your grandchildren.
She was also terrified of what Curtis would do to her if she took the children.
That part I could understand.
Mm-hmm. But like, I'm imagining that Stacy is going to her mom. Like, look, the situation has gotten bad. And I just imagine her mom like throwing it back in her face. You know what I mean? Like,
kind of like I told you so.
Yeah. Like, I didn't approve of this relationship. I told you that blah, 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 blah. And then for you not to even want to help your grandchildren because of your, what's the word I'm looking for?
Small-mindedness.
Yes, your small-minded mindset. Like, race has nothing to do with this. Your daughter is literally being abused, and her children are seeing this happen.
Like, it didn't even matter that your daughter was white. If he's an abusive man, he's going to abuse any woman he's with.
Absolutely.
White, black, Asian, Hispanic, Native American, it doesn't matter. He's an abusive man.
And the fact that, man. An abuser is an abuser. It doesn't matter anything. So
exactly. And what my abuser was white. Like, okay.
And what irks me is because I'm in full believance that if Curtis was a white man, like, none of this would have happened. You know what I'm saying? Because the mom would have been like, oh, bring everybody down. Like, you know what I'm saying? But just because.
Right. Your grandbabies had nothing to do with that.
Nothing.
And they should not be punished for your small-mindedness.
Yes.
And your lack of awareness. Mm-hmm. Of just like, at the end of the day, those kids are your blood.
Yes.
Those kids are your grandbabies.
Yes. Yes. Ugh. Ugh. It just gives me chills because like the relationship that my girls have with my parents is like the best thing. Like I love their relationship because they love them like both ways, like Skylar and Aria to my parents and my parents to Skylar and Aria. Like when I tell you they ride for each other, like I don't even exist when we're here.
Yeah.
Like it's, I want to go to pop-up. I want to go to Nana. Like it's so funny because they get so tripped up on words. So now it's like, mom, Nana, mom. Like it's like... It's like the funniest thing ever. It's so cute though, but I just really love their relationship to hear that this woman literally probably did not spend any time with their grand. You know what I mean?
Didn't even know them.
Nothing. Like,
and I can only imagine what she felt knowing that she was leaving her babies with an abuser, but she felt like she had no choice.
Yes.
And I know that she lost sleep over that. Like the fact that you had to lay your head down at night knowing what he did to you, and now you fear that because you're not there, he's going to now take out his rage on your babies.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So 4 years later, Stacy drove back to Florida, took Catherine and Curtis out of school, and drove them back to Kansas without the permission of their father. And according to sources, she was arrested for a third-degree felony of interference with custody. So Catherine and Curtis were returned to the custody of their father in Florida, and charges against Stacy were dropped. It's also very important to note that it's not revealed if Curtis was abusing the children as well. So I'm not sure if all of his abuse was directed just to Stacy or if Catherine and Curtis received abuse from him as well.
I don't know that because some abusive significant others only target their abuse to their significant other and will never actually lay a hand on their children.
Yes.
But then you have some abusers who escalate and then start abusing their children. So it's like, I don't know his. Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah. And quick side note, we were watching last night. I've never heard of this case before in my life. It's not children were involved, but it's something we couldn't cover because it was like at the hands of their parents. But the Turpin family, have you heard of that case?
No.
So pretty much they had 13 kids.
Oh my God.
13 kids. And they were living in this house, and from the outside in, they looked like this perfect family, but their house was in shambles. They were chaining kids to beds. Like, they were malnourished. I remember the one girl, when she got out, she was about 20-something, but looking at her, Brooke, she looked like a 15-year-old girl.
Oh, my God.
Like, she was malnourished. Like, they were like, and they were getting ready to move to Oklahoma, because at the time, I believe they were in California. And at the time, two of her little sisters were chained because they stole food from the mom because they were hungry. So that night, she broke out of the window, called the police, and they were arrested and charged with life in prison.
Good.
But, like, it's just so crazy how, like, situations like this one, I don't know if Curtis abused them, but then you have this other situation that it was just, like, not only the kids were getting, like, the mom was getting, I believe she was, like, verbally abused. I don't know if she was physically abused, but, like, the kids, like, you're chaining your kids to a bunk bed.
Mm-hmm. It's like, disgusting.
What is wrong with people? Like, I remember watching it, like, when did the world become like this?
Yeah. Well, like, there's just evil people in the world in general.
I just don't understand it. It just hurts my heart. But let's get back to that case. So let's get to the abuse of Catherine and Curtis. There were several child welfare investigations done prior to Sonia's murder. According to sources, the first one was a few years prior to the murder. In 1994, Curtis had gone down to visit Stacy in Kansas and disclosed to her that a family member living in the home was fondling him. It's important to note that this family member not only shared a room, but also shared a bed with Curtis.
That, nope. Yeah. Wah.
Like, I don't know why ever.
Why?
Why ever?
Go, you sleep on the couch.
Like, why ever?
Mm-mm.
And according to another source, the investigation was closed after Curtis changed his story and said that he was lying.
After being threatened.
I imagine. And I'm going to get into this with this next part, but like, okay, so another investigation was done in 1996 when Curtis had a bruised and a swollen eye. And that was closed as well, but I didn't find any reasons why, if he like said he fell or something like that. I'm not really sure what happened. So I am going to give a trigger warning here because we are getting into some sexual abuse. So another investigation was done in September of 1998, just a few months before the murder. Catherine had ran away from home, and a teacher at Catherine's school had suspicions that she was being sexually assaulted. And shout out to that teacher for trusting her gut, because as teachers, we are mandated reporters. So when you see something, we say it all the time. If you see something, you say it.
Exactly. And I mean, in a lot of times, it is our gut feeling that, you know, we have to trust. Like, I specifically remember this was 3 years ago, and I had a girl, and she came in and she had cuts all over her face.
Oh my God.
Like, just over the weekend, showed up on Monday, cuts all over her face.
Oh my
God. Immediately, I was like, you could not not see it.
Yeah.
And it sucks that your brain immediately goes to abuse because these are children.
Yeah.
And so I had to reached out to the counselor. I was like, can you just like look and see like what you think? Like, I need to fill out a report, blah, blah, blah. And around lunchtime, her mother had emailed the school and was like, I understand what my daughter looks like and I understand what you guys are going to think, but I have the documentation to show you that my daughter has now been, you know, diagnosed with depression and anxiety, and she had a massive panic attack, and she was literally, I know y'all can't see me, but she had her hands on her face, scratching her face, like clawing at her face over the weekend. And we still had to document and report this because in the event that it comes back that that story is not true, we had to cover our own self to make sure. And like, I never saw that again. I don't know if she immediately got on medication, but it was terrifying.
Yeah, because I can imagine.
And it was a gut feeling. Like, I had to go immediately, like, report it.
Yeah, and some of these cases, like, now, I don't think we've covered any of the cases where it's happened, but, like, there are clear indicators that something's wrong and the teacher just turns the other cheek. Like, what are you doing?
What is your job? Like, what you have one job.
Like, I had to make my first DFS report this past school year. And it was, like, the most, Like, it's terrifying because, you know, you're worried for the child.
And yet you still put them on a bus and you go fill out paperwork.
You know what I mean? Like, you're terrified. Like, what is this going to do?
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to cause them anymore. Like, thankfully, it wasn't the case. Like, I'm very grateful. But, like, it's still just a very gut-wrenching thing. And even though something is very gut-wrenching, that doesn't mean you avoid it.
Exactly.
You are a mandated reporter. This is what you have to do. When you signed up to be a teacher, you signed up to be a teacher, a therapist, a mom,
yep,
a cheerleader, a nurse. Like, yep. No. Absolutely yep. Not.
So, like, I mean, yeah, kudos to this teacher because sexual abuse is not as clear as physical abuse mm-hmm. a lot of times. And even more so, verbal abuse is not even clear because, you know, like one thing that I really try to do in my classroom is when students call out an answer and they call it out quietly or they call it out with doubt in their voice, I make them repeat it. And I say, before I say, well, say it with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Say everything that you're going to say in this classroom with confidence.
Mm-hmm. Say it with your chest. Come on now.
And building that morale, because you don't know what these kids are told at home and yeah. you don't know if they're told you're not good enough or you're wrong or, you know, you don't know. So teaching them in the classroom, even if you're wrong, say whatever you're going to say with confidence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a wonderful tactic you have there, Brooke.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Records revealed that child welfare investigators found some indicators of sexual abuse, which what does that mean?
I'm sorry, if you find even one, we got an issue.
And okay.
If I checked any of those boxes, we got an issue.
Mm-hmm. And again, I just wanted to give another trigger warning because I'm going to quote Catherine's exact words on the sexual abuse that she was experiencing. So if you would like to fast forward just a smidgen, go ahead. According to Catherine, she stated that he did everything but penetrate her. It was touching, fondling, and oral sex. She went on to say, and I quote, he would make me perform oral sex to the point where I would throw up.
Oh, my God.
Like.
Oh, my God.
I remember reading this and just being so disgusting that a grown man would subject a child to such traumatic yeah. sexual experiences.
Well, you know, So I turned, like, I don't know if you guys remember when I was talking about the creepy old men on my Instagram mm-hmm. and they were like commenting about Casey. And first of all, Casey's fully clothed in the video. Casey is holding a bottle. Her hair, it looks like a ragamuffin. Like, she's doing nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And men were just kept commenting how cute she was and how she could dance and blah, 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 blah. So I turned the comments off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you will not even have the opportunity to say that.
Yeah.
So another man
no.
goes to the video right above it
no.
and comments and says, why would you turn your comments off on the most popular video on your page? Doesn't make sense to me. And I responded, men like you are the reason that I turned the video off. Creepy. And you made me uncomfortable. Isn't that valid enough?
Like
why do you want to comment on a video
yep.
with a three-year-old?
Yep. And there's that whole thing with, I can't remember the girl's name.
Yes, but Ren.
Yes. And that yep. is just like, she is a child.
Yep.
She is a child. Like, the amount of times her videos have been saved, like, what are you doing with those videos?
I know.
Like,
and I told Mary, I said, that's not fair that these, like, but I've seen, okay, this is a rant, but I've seen women get on TikTok lately and they're like, but why would you put your child on the internet? Blah, 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 blah. You know what's going. No. You're not going to tell me what I can do with my child when it is not my fault
exactly.
that men have these wirings in their brain exactly. that make them sickos.
Exactly.
It is their fault.
Mm-hmm.
It is their fault that they are sick psychopaths and predators.
Yes.
I should be able to post my child that I am proud of on the internet with her cute outfit and mm-hmm. us having a family day by mm-hmm. the pool. I should do that with no worries about a sicko that's going to share it and save it and put it on the internet
mm-hmm.
for other purposes. That's not my fault. So all the moms on TikTok that are like, you know, tearing all these other moms down, shame on you because yes. you should be fighting another battle. You should be fighting the battle of getting these sick men mm-hmm. off of the internet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just, again, I just don't know when the world became this. I just don't know when, and I don't like it. It makes me very to be a mother, it's something that I grapple with like every day. Like that, right. I'm just like,
and you're not the only mom that is grappling with that.
Yeah, like granted, this world is nuts. This world is nuts.
But like back to the case. She's saying him. Who is him?
The family member.
The same family member that Curtis,
yes, ma'am,
was also having issues with.
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't know why my guts like go into like an uncle, because it's always the dirty uncles.
You know, it really is. It never disclosed his relationship or his name, but I was going that route as well.
Mm-hmm. For his safety, mm-hmm. because pitchforks are up.
Oh, absolutely. So you would think that when Catherine went to tell her father that he would be enraged, right?
Yeah, especially as a violent man, you would think that that would trigger him.
Yes. So you would think that he would be very enraged, that he would want to kill the family member, that he would, you know, kick him out of the house. Unfortunately, Catherine's father sided with the family member and intimidated her to tell child welfare that she was lying about the whole ordeal.
Nope. We gots to go. Mm-hmm. We gots to go.
And while closing the case, investigators warned the father that this family member shouldn't be living in the home with the children because he is a registered pedophile.
Are we joking?
No.
We let a pedophile move into our home?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that part of their, like, being on that list is that you can't live with children?
I don't know when that came into play, when it was just like, oh, you have to notify someone if a you know what I mean? Like,
I know they can't live within a certain distance of schools,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then everybody, I feel like, is notified that you have a pedophile living in your area. Isn't that a thing?
Right, yes.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Because that's something that we got with this house, is like, we can check.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he was convicted of having sex with a minor in 1993. And here's my frustration with all of this. This man is convicted, right? He's a known registered pedophile. Her teacher had suspicions of sexual abuse, and there is indication of said sexual abuse. So why in the world was this case closed? All of the boxes are being checked here. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, so we're just going to, you know, close this, but you probably shouldn't have him living with you because he does things with children. Like, what?
Somebody dropped the ball.
Absolutely.
Somebody dropped the ball.
Absolutely. Like,
no, because we're packing up and we're going to Kansas and you're living with your mother.
Like, you owed her an investigation. She was owed an investigation and you mm-hmm. didn't give her that. And I am, and I'll say it again later, but I know that if this would have been investigated the way that it was supposed to be, none of this would have happened. None of it.
Well, if you had put the well-being of the children first, then yeah, none of this would happen. But no one seemed to put them first.
Yeah. And I know, and I've heard, because I took, before I was a teacher, I was still in New York, and I took the social worker test for New York State, and I passed. But I had absolutely no desire. Granted, the money would be, oh, tiny feet, numero uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Yes, mamita. Baby, I am almost done, okay?
I ate all of my breakfast.
You ate all of your breakfast?
Me too.
Oh, that's good, but I need to finish this, okay?
Yeah.
So I need you to go upstairs, okay? I'm going to come upstairs as soon as I'm done, okay? All right, I love you. Okay, close the door, please.
Bless them.
A baby is a gift from above.
Rugrats.
Hell yeah, man. Whereas every time they come in here, I lose my place. I can't remember what I was saying.
The case was closed.
Oh,
yeah. They just advised that they shouldn't have that family member living mm-hmm. in the home.
Yes. And I'm going to give another sexual abuse trigger warning. So again, if you don't want to hear it, fast forward a little bit. According to one of my sources, just days after the investigation was closed, I'm going to repeat, days after, Catherine was showering. And this same disgusting family member that is still living in the home came into the bathroom, pulled back the shower curtain, and began masturbating.
Whoa, that is disgusting.
And all Catherine could do was cry while crouching in the corner. Mind you, she had just revealed to her father that she was being sexually abused by this man. The father was like, nah, he would never do something like that. Child welfare tells this man, hey, you might not want him living here because he's a registered pedophile. And then days later, you're going to, again, add more trauma when Catherine hasn't even had time to process the trauma of what has happened.
Yeah. No, see, here's the thing. I know you're going to bring it full circle, but I'm like, where does Sonia play in?
Uh-huh.
We're to getting all there. Of this.
We're okay. Getting there.
Because to me, it seems like that gun should have been pointed at this family member.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when he was done, he left 50 cents on top of the toilet seat.
No.
And part of me...
You got to go.
And part of me is like, I don't know if this was kind of like a... What's the word I'm looking for? Like a, you tried it, but I'm still here kind of jab at her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you tried, and the case
but
was
But I'm not
closed.
Going anywhere. You,
exactly. And I think that that is like...
The biggest slap in the face.
Yes. Like, I don't...
Yep.
It couldn't be me. I'll tell you that. It couldn't be me.
Because you'd have to go.
First of all, you would have to go. I'm going to just leave it at that. Because one thing you're not going to do, like, I say this all the time, especially with being like a person who posts TikToks pretty regularly. You can say all you want about me. I'm an adult.
Uh-huh.
I am a grown woman, and I'll come back at you. I just had somebody call me ghetto the other day, came back at her, and she blocked me because she didn't want to hear what I had to say. That's completely fine, because one thing you're not going to do is try and tell me about myself and think I'm going to just sit there. But my children?
Nope.
My flesh and blood?
That's why I had to cut the comments off.
This is what we're not going to do. Like, when I tell you, I've never been in a fight in my entire life, okay? In my entire life. But when I tell you I would fight for mine.
Yeah. I ain't fighting fair, but no, I'll fight.
Don't let me hear nothing.
Yeah.
Don't let me hear nothing, because I even remember them being in daycare and then telling me something happened at school. And I was like, well, you need to talk to that child's parent, because if you're not going to do it, I'm going to talk to them. Because what you, I get we're kids. But what you're not going to do is put your hand on my child.
Yeah.
Like, and like, that's what we're not going to do. Okay.
Absolutely.
Mm-mm. So y'all going to handle it, or I'm going to have a conversation.
And I can assure you, you don't want me to handle it.
You don't. Like, that's something you just don't play with me. You just don't. Now I'm fired up. So with no one believing her, Catherine turned to the only person she knew would believe her, and that was her brother, Curtis. So after coming to the realization that they were both being abused by the same man, this is when they put their plan in action. Catherine and Curtis decided that they would kill their abuser, as well as their father and the girlfriend, because they believed that that Curtis, the father, and Sonia, the girlfriend, allowed the abuse to continue.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
There was no believing it. They did.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in all of this, I don't know if they ever went to Sonia and told her everything, but like, I don't know her actual involvement. You know what I mean? But like, I know for a fact that like their dad, like Catherine, went to her and told him that she was being abused.
Exactly.
But so I'm not.
And
really...
I'm sure. But if she's dating the father during the investigation, they would have had to question her anyways.
You know, absolutely. Now, thank you, because I was struggling to put the pieces together. But now, she obviously had to be interviewed. I mean, she obviously wasn't like, hey, you need to kick him out of the house. So, yes, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, because she didn't put her foot down.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to go.
Yeah, because you're not. Why are you dating somebody who's condoning this?
Exactly. But if he has a history of abuse, he's probably abusing her.
And there
it's the full circle
and
moment.
There it goes. Yep. Mm-hmm. So on January 6, 1999, they put their plan into action when their father left the house briefly. I didn't include this, but they knew their dad would be out for a little bit and the abuser would be back later in the day. Number five, cinco. Yes, baby. Hmm? Who? Yes, you have to leave it down here. So put it down here and then go upstairs and play, okay? I'm almost done. I'm sorry for all the interruptions, guys, because I know I'm not going to be able to cut this out. Okay, take it upstairs. Go ahead and make sure you close the door, okay? All right, love you. All right, close it. Close it all the way, please. Thank you. Oh, gosh.
The life of a podcaster.
You know, period. So they knew that he would be home later on. The dad was going to be back shortly. The abuser would be back later on in the evening. So they had Sonia.
Okay.
Okay. So it was as soon as Curtis fired the gun that things became a reality for him. So according to sources, Catherine says he had an emotional breakdown because once again, this is reality now. This isn't some idea that's in our head anymore. This is reality. And he freaked out. He had an emotional breakdown and I tried to calm him down and we ended up leaving the house.
So they had a plan and it was going to be to take out all three.
Yes.
And Sonia just happened to be the first one because she's still in the home. Mm-hmm. And when he pulled the trigger and it killed her, he realized what was happening.
Yes. And it was just like, oh, this is real. Like, this is real. Mm-hmm. So once all of this was brought to light, mind you, they've been in jail for 10 years at this point. They never said anything. Their motive this whole time was that they were jealous of her. Mm-mm. So once this came to light and she reflected on her actions, Catherine feels regret for killing, but stated the following. At one point, I was just so happy to be away. I know that sounds like really, really messed up, but there was a point where I was just away from all of that and I was by myself and I was safe.
Yeah, she knew he couldn't get to her anymore.
Mm-hmm. And it's just really sad that she had to go through that whole entire ordeal to just truly get away from the trauma and suffering that she was enduring. Like,
like the fact that she found more peace in jail and in an interrogation room and at a police station than she did in her own home speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So in all my research, I couldn't find the reasoning. But on July 28th, 2015, Curtis Jones was released from prison at the age of 29 after serving 16 years in prison. He left prison as an ordained minister.
And you know what? He has a great story to tell.
And then, on August 1st, 2015, just 4 days after her brother, Catherine Jones also was released from prison at the age of 30 after also serving 16 years in prison. Catherine leaves prison a married woman.
She got married.
She got married. U.S. Navy Senior Chief Ramos Fleming began writing to Catherine in prison after hearing about her story. According to sources, Ramos stated the following. I had never done anything like that before. Her story just piqued my interest and I wanted to be pen pals. So Catherine and Ramos transformed from pen pals into lovers. So it's each letter they wrote to one another, they fell deeper and deeper in love.
You know what, though? She deserves it.
When I tell
you. She deserves love. She does. And she deserves love because that love was never given to her as a child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and I do hate that their only victim was Sonia.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm not, I do value human life. I really do. Don't take what I'm about to say is that I don't value human life. But if, I just feel like the abuser, I don't even know. Y'all know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they were married in November of 2013. And with Catherine's release from prison, Ramos, if that's not how I say your name, I'm so sorry, honey. I'm so sorry. Ramos decided to retire from the Navy to avoid being deployed so that his wife didn't have to get acclimated to life outside of prison without him, which is, like, seriously the most considerate and adorable thing to do for her.
Yeah.
So on her release, Catherine stated the following. Of course, there are fears, mainly because there's so much I must learn to function like a normal person. How to drive, fill out a job application, text, dress for a job interview, build my credit, obtain life, dental, mental, medical insurance. I'm completely clueless. The idea of being 30 and completely dependent on others to teach me how to do these basic things isn't appealing. I'll leave prison just as clueless as I was at 13. Like, she had, her and her brother went in at 12 and 13.
Like, their whole brain development was in prison.
Yeah. Like, basic things, like, that you, you didn't get to do. So she's going to have to maneuver all of that at 30 years old.
They didn't even learn the Pythagorean theorem.
No. What's that? A squared plus B squared equals C squared?
Yup.
Yup. See? Yep. Tell me I don't know my math, bro. So
she's right, though. I mean, like, that's, you know, and he recognized that as her husband. And
like, was like, I don't want to be deployed and have to leave her without what she needs.
Well, and I'm sure she has like abandonment and trust issues.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, even if she's worked through them in prison and in the therapy system that the prison has, it sucks that you would get out, be married to a mm-hmm. wonderful man, but then, you know, the military is like, oh, he's got to leave. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So since their release, there hasn't been any further updates on Curtis and Catherine.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. And that is our lesson on Catherine and Curtis Jones.
And that's how the reform system should work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I did just want to make note. I said a lot of quotes from Catherine in this lesson and not Curtis. And it's because Curtis did not agree to tell his story that the court would have heard if he went to trial. Like, he, since his release, I don't really know what's happening. I don't.
Okay, but think about it. Males versus females.
Yeah.
I mean, men handle trauma, we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. way different than females handle mm-hmm, trauma. Mm-hmm. Men are taught, you push it down, you deal with it, mm-hmm. it's internal, don't bring it out, mm-hmm. you're less man if you're upset about it. So, I mean, if he had that mindset, and this is if, I am making an assumption, mm-hmm. if he had that mindset, no, he wouldn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Whereas Catherine, a female, is more, you know, emotional. We are mm-hmm. more emotional.
We are emotional beings.
We're more willing to talk things out. We're talkers. We yeah. want to get it out of our, get it off of our chest. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense.
But then also, like, if we're really thinking about the crime that was actually committed, Curtis actually pulled a trigger. You know what
so
I mean?
He's so that had to hit him.
Granted, no one's taking away from Catherine's trauma by any means. Like, she was also, like, what she endured was horrible and deplorable and just by all means shouldn't have happened. And Curtis had to pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't want to say anything was worse because it's not. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
right.
Like, one thing's not worse than the other.
Yeah, but they both endured a lot.
Yeah. So I feel like for him, it might have hit him a little differently.
So what I'm curious about is if they ever had any contact with their mother. Or
I did read something that Curtis was always closest with his mother than Catherine. So I do know that
maintained a relationship.
Stacy and Catherine's relationship is strained, but I'm not. But Curtis and Stacy had a very good relationship.
Okay.
This is before mm-hmm. everything happened. So I'm not sure how things continued.
Yeah, that would be interesting to know.
Mm hmm. Child welfare definitely dropped the ball with this lesson.
Definitely, 100%.
Definitely. I fully believe that Sonia's death could have been absolutely avoided if they actually would have investigated all three instances of child abuse. There was no reason that after they found out that this man was a registered sex offender that they shouldn't have proceeded with the investigation. And I really don't know how these investigations work. So if anyone has some insight to that, maybe as to why they didn't go through with the investigation, or because they fumbled the bag immensely.
They definitely did.
Yeah. But
my thing is like, if you know that a sex offender is living in a home with two minors, can you not, is that not probable cause enough to get the children out of a house and put into a foster system?
You know what I'm saying? Especially when they were indicators of sexual abuse. So what are you saying right now?
Even if there wasn't, a sex offender was living in a home with two children.
Yep. And not to mention,
me,
yeah,
that warrants enough to be like, they're coming with us.
Yeah. Well, so we can do a thorough. What the heck is that word? Mm-hmm. An investigation. Because the first time, you know, Curtis was saying, yo, he is touching me.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, oh, well, he said he was lying. So we just done. I mean, I guess I can't remember what year that is because he was convicted in 1993 of sexually abusing a minor. And with Curtis, this was in 94. So I'm not sure if
the
that
next
was
year.
You know what I mean? I'm not sure if this was brought to light in his case as well. But regardless, he was a registered pedophile.
Exactly.
And he shouldn't have been there.
That point blank period.
Like, just ridiculous. It didn't have to come to murder for them to be safe, free, and heard.
Right. No, it shouldn't have. And the bag was fumbled by the system.
Yes.
The bag was fumbled by the father.
Yeah.
You were a crappy father.
Yeah.
And, you know, the man that was their abuser, I don't know where you are in life, but I wish you runny diarrhea.
Yes.
For the remainder of your life. I wish you runny diarrhea in hell. Like, yeah. I just hope you're just sitting in hell, just leaking out your butthole.
Yep. I hope every time you sneeze, you poop on yourself.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Yeah.
And you ain't got no other pants around.
Mm-mm. And you just got to walk around with poopy pants.
Yep.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, yes, they endured something that a child should never have to endure, but they did commit a very horrible crime.
Yes, they
so
did.
Granted, regardless of the fact, I understand why they did it. I completely and wholeheartedly understand. But murder is murder, okay?
It is.
It's like, it's also the only way that they felt that they can get away from the abuse. But I do think that they served their time. Do I think that they needed 16 years in prison for it? Absolutely not. But after year 10 is when it came to light why they really did what they did.
So, and I mean, imagine if they had only served 8, then the motive would have never, none of this would have actually come to light.
Yeah. And I'm wondering like, I'm wondering, because it never said why they never said anything.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, they were not believed the first 3 times they said something.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll
so,
do
I
it.
Mean, why do they think someone's going to believe them now?
Yeah. And I don't even know how Florida Today got a hand on the records. Like, if it wasn't for Florida Today, like, they could have still, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably would have been out at this point because they got out in 2015 because they were only serving 18 years. But they still, like, got out early, but they still have probation for, like, they're still convicted murderers, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they still have probation for the rest of their lives, so the smallest infraction
could send them back.
Yes. Which they're not malicious killer, you know what I mean?
They're not, I mean they killed because they saw no other out.
Yes.
Like, you know, they saw no other way. They're children, they are abused children.
Yeah.
And to be free in their mind was, you gotta go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And because there are no updates, oh gosh, my words. Because there are no updates, I truly hope that they are healed from their childhood traumas and are just maneuvering the world like true survivors, because
right.
It's what they deserve.
I agree. And it sounds like that they are. It sounds like they were reformed.
Absolutely.
And that they came to terms with their abuse and they have now acknowledged, and they see that they deserve a life, and
yeah.
They deserve love,
mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah. And that's our lesson.
So you're right. Like, I definitely have empathy for them.
Absolutely. Wholeheartedly. Like, I remember because I got this case from a BuzzFeed article. It was like the top 17 murders committed by children that'll, like, mess you up.
It messed me up.
This absolutely shattered me. Like, it, just the dad and the family member, and just the fact that, you know, as soon as it became reality, they were like, I got to get out of this house.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even like they initially just ran away, too. They ran and told somebody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They told somebody.
I wonder
somebody.
If they kept in touch while in prison.
You know, I didn't see anything on that, and I would be really curious to know if they did, because I feel like they were like each other's, you know.
Well, they have a bond, and they
yeah.
have a bond. They have a, you know, they are the only people that will ever get each other the way that they do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, they were so close. So I really hope that they were able to keep that relationship going and still are now that they're out. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I really hope. I do.
I do too. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like a sibling bond.
Yeah. I love Skylar and Arya's bond. It's like my favorite thing. Like mm-hmm. sometimes they be, you know, ganging up on me because they be knowing, but their friendship, like they were each other's first friend. And I love that for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sheesh.
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
Let me go work in this classroom now that I have all this weight on my shoulders from mm-hmm. that case.
Yep. And let me go re-listen to this episode so I can edit it for y'all to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to go upstairs because your kids miss you.
Yeah, that as well. That's mm-hmm. also. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
See y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye.